never running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves. What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Greetings, everyone. I'm going to go right to the news because so much has been happening today. If you haven't heard, there was an active shooter this morning at a Mount Horeb Middle School. That shooter was reported at about 11:30 a.m. The individual did not, quote, breach entry to the school and was neutralized. There was an initial district-wide lockdown, and the Mount Horeb Intermediate Center was evacuated. Middle school students and staff remain on lockdown, but are now being allowed to leave their classrooms with an escort. Quote, an initial search of the middle school has not yet yielded additional suspects, according to the district Facebook page. Quote, as importantly, we have no reports of individuals being harmed, with the exception of the alleged assailant. Dane County Executive Joe Parisi posted this statement or issued this statement around 12:45 this afternoon. May 1st, 2024 will be a date not forgotten. Moments like this turn lives upside down, cause trauma, sorrow, and a moment of reflection for all of us. And from Governor Evers about an hour ago, I have been briefed on the incident at Mount Horeb Area School District, and I'm closely monitoring the situation. I am praying for the health and safety of our kids, educators, and staff, and I'm grateful for the first responders who are working quickly to respond. So no one hurt other than the assailant. Also, as many also heard overnight and into the morning, we had state police removing encampments on the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus. Those encampments, protesters of Israel's continuing armed conflict in Gaza. So much happening. Also this morning, the Biden-Harris campaign based in Wisconsin held a press conference deriding President Trump, calling out his positions on abortion, amongst other things. We're going to have sound from that because, of course, the former MAGA president at the Waukesha County Expo Center this afternoon, he was scheduled to start speaking at 2 p.m., he began about a half an hour early, began speaking at about 1:30 p.m. Civic Media's news director, Terry Bell, is joining us to give us a bit from the ground at the Waukesha County Expo Center. Welcome, Terry. Thanks so much for being here to let us know what's going on at the Expo Center.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Maggie. I am in La Crosse, where Civic Media is going to broadcast a debate, or I should say a forum of the candidates for 3rd District Congress in the Democratic primary. Our Stuart Jay Waddles is at the Expo Center, and he'll have much more for you, I'm sure, coming up later in your broadcast. But yes, closely keeping an eye on all the things that you just listed so well and so thoroughly happening today.
Yeah, very busy day in Wisconsin news. What can you tell us about this morning's press conference, Terry, and or the president's appearance this afternoon? I was a bit surprised that he started speaking early.
Well, you know, this is kind of a strange situation because President Biden, when he was at the Boys and Girls Club on the north side of Milwaukee a few weeks ago, he started his presentation a little bit early, so maybe not to be outdone. I have no idea why Mr. Trump started early today, but, you know, if they're keeping to a schedule, you know, I suppose. So, yes, the Biden-Harris got out front. That is what the opposing party tends to do at events like this, hold an event beforehand, get the word out, kind of, you know, stay in the mix of information going out to the public. So yes, I believe the lieutenant governor was a part of that, and just getting the word out about, you know, their disagreements with the former president and the things that he is saying this afternoon.
Thanks so much, Terry. For the Wisconsin 3rd Congressional District Democratic Primary Forum, what's going on tonight in La Crosse, and where can people find that forum, attend in person, or listen in if they'd like?
Sure. Well, it's at the UW La Crosse campus, and it's going to be at 6:30 tonight. If you are not in the immediate La Crosse area, you can listen or stream. You can listen over the air on our stations in La Crosse, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, and Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center. Or you can stream any of those stations, you know, on the Civic Media website or on your app.
So that is, you can hear it if you are not in La Crosse, can't get over there, and you want to hear that third congressional district, congressional forum amongst the Democratic primary candidates. You can check that out on WLCX La Crosse, WCFF Chippewa Falls Eau Claire, WRCE Richland Center, and WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. The next one of these forums is going to be held on June 16th, and the fourth and final forum on July 12th at Chippewa Valley Technical College. If you haven't been following this quite crowded Democratic primary in the 3rd CD, we've got Rebecca Cook, State Rep Katrina Shankland, and Eric Wilson all running for the opportunity to square off against current 3rd Congressional District Representative Derek Van Orten. So much to see there, isn't there, Stuart? Excuse me, Terry.
That's fine. Yes, exactly. It is seen largely by observers as a race between Shankland and Cook. Rebecca Cook has been campaigning for this job for a couple of years. She finished a very strong second in the Democratic primary 2 years ago and never really went into off mode since that defeat. And so she's been building a lot of support. She's based in the Eau Claire area. And then Katrina Shankland, who's a veteran state lawmaker and has built a lot of time building up support and recognition and relationships with people. So it'll be very interesting. There's a third candidate in the race. He's seen as more of an upstart. Of course, anything can happen in politics, but observers think it's going to come down to either Katrina Shankland or Rebecca Cook.
Well, thanks so much. That is Civic Media's own news director, Terry Bell, live from La Crosse. Sorry for getting your locale screwed up. Just a couple of things going on this afternoon. My goodness. Thanks so much, Terry. Always good to talk with you. Another wee bit of a news update on the lighter end of the spectrum. The Milwaukee Brewers just put up another 3 runs. They're playing at AmFam Field. They're now up 7-0 against the Tampa Bay Rays. You know me, baseball nerd. I'm always checking those scores. I will say this, folks, if you're out and about in southeastern Wisconsin, also in southwestern Wisconsin right now, please be careful on the roads with the Brewers, with the former president in town, with the situation at Mount Horeb. But please take some care. Build in some extra time. Took me quite a bit longer to get where I was going this morning than is usual. You're listening to Maggie Dawn. I'm here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're covering Donald Trump's appearance this afternoon at the Waukesha County Expo Center. This coming on the heels of what can only be described in my language as an explosive interview with Time Magazine. I'll get into that in detail likely tomorrow. I printed the sucker out. It's a 20-plus minute read. If you include the fact check of the assertions that Donald Trump made during that interview, that's probably another 20 minutes. We'll dive into that more tomorrow. Today, I want to focus on what the former MAGA president has to say, but perhaps more importantly, what he doesn't have to say. Because according to our own Stuart J. Waddles on the ground at the Expo Center and other of our news folks here at Civic Media, what we've been hearing from the former president, since 1:30 is basically a litany of grievances. Well, that sounds like par for the course. Haven't heard a single articulation of an affirmative policy or vision for the country other than, again, a litany of grievances. We're going to have Stuart J. Waddles joining us sometime during the 3 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. We're also going to have some sound from the president's remarks. I can't even call it a speech. Speeches tend to be grounded in some sort of purpose or point. I've done a wee bit of public speaking on you in my days. I generally like to know, okay, I'm making, this is the theme and I've got 3 points. I don't think you can call what Donald Trump does speech making because it's just, again, rambling musings. I don't know what to call it. we'll have some sound from that. And again, maybe do a deeper dive and a bit of fact checking tomorrow, both on the president's comments today, as well as that explosive Time magazine interview piece that just came out, I think, yesterday. You can get that article for free if you go to Time magazine Trump interview. Quite interesting. But let's take a listen to some of the comments made this morning. We were going to have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez join the show. Unfortunately, she also got double booked this afternoon. So we're looking to get her in on the Maggie Dawn Show either tomorrow or Friday. Stay tuned for that. I will let you know when we can lock that in with the Lieutenant Governor. But she was there speaking on behalf of the Biden-Harris campaign in pre-rebuttal, if you will, to Donald Trump's remarks this afternoon at the Expo Center. Let's take a listen. We're going to just roll through a couple of those cuts. These are going to be cuts 13. This is Lieutenant Governor, Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez this morning in anticipation of the president's rambling remarks this afternoon.
Today, Donald Trump is coming to Waukesha. In case you don't already know,
November's election will determine whether women in the United States have reproductive freedom or whether Trump's new administration will continue to control women's health care decisions. Waukesha was once considered a Republican stronghold, but in recent years, I've seen my neighbors, my friends, my family members who are now voting for Democrats. That's because here in Waukesha, we are common sense people. We reject extremism and government interference, especially when it comes to our private medical decisions. But this November, Wisconsin voters will be making their voices heard, just like they did in 2020.
That is Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez this morning at a press conference in a pre-rebuttal of the former MAGA president's rambling remarks, which I believe are ongoing at the Waukesha County Expo Center. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Civic Media Radio Network. You can join us on your local dial at waukradio.com or on the free app or on your good old-fashioned radio at 540 a.m. Stay tuned, everybody. I'm going to dig a little bit more into the context of the president's remarks this afternoon. We also have a very special guest joining us at the bottom of this hour at 2:30. I'm going to be joined by former Representative Joe Walsh from Illinois' 8th Congressional District, who ran against Trump as a Republican in 2020, denounced Trump, and is now denounced being a Republican. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm telling these tears going fall away, fall away. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, breaking some news. So much happening both in our state and nationally today. I got a texter from the 608 inquiring about the language surrounding the active shooter in Mount Horeb. If you're just joining us, there was an active shooter at a Mount Horeb middle school. There was a lockdown. And according to official reports, this is the language from the official reports, no one was hurt. The shooter, the assailant, was, quote, neutralized. That's not my language. That's from the official reports. That is all we have. We do not know what that means. More to come if that news breaks. We will share it with you here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Focusing today on Donald Trump's appearance here in Waukesha at the Expo Center. We've got folks on scene there, specifically Stuart J. Waddles. He's going to be joining us. We're going to have some sound from the president's remarks. I thought the Biden-Harris campaign, they put out basically a preface, a memo that set up the press conference that they had this morning at 9 a.m. with the lieutenant governor. Now, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, we're working on locking her in tomorrow or on Friday. Stay tuned for that. But I just wanted to point out a few of the facts shared by the Biden-Harris campaign in sort of pre-rebuttal to the former MAGA president's remarks this afternoon. They point out that Trump has repeatedly bragged about, quote, breaking Roe versus Wade. He has said he is, quote, proudly the person responsible for overturning it, and that it was a quote, incredible thing. He just yesterday, which would have been, on April 29th, publicly said that he endorsed state laws that prosecute and punish women who have abortions and raised the possibility of political violence if he loses. We have some of the sound from the Time reporter that did the two-part Trump interview about his interview with Donald Trump and the specific questions he asked him about abortion. If we've got that, let's take that. I think this is cut 14A, Anya. This is the reporter that did the Time magazine interview of Donald Trump. He is summarizing what Donald Trump had to say over the course of two interviews in April about abortion. Let's take a listen.
That's immigration. What about abortion policy? Trump has said before he would leave that up to states. You asked, well, what does that mean? What would the potential consequences of that be? What did he tell you?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. It's one area where the president is reluctant to reveal too much of what he wants to do precisely. But his firm stance right now is that he would have no role in what other states would do. He would allow states to carry out their policies as they see fit. I asked him very precise, deliberate questions about whether he would allow for certain measures to be taken in red states, including monitoring women's pregnancies to know if they've gotten an abortion off the ban. Trump told me they might do that, and it didn't matter whether he was comfortable with that or not, because states are going to make up their minds. I asked him the same question, whether he was comfortable with states prosecuting or punishing women for getting abortions after the ban. He said, it's totally irrelevant whether I'm comfortable or not, because states are going to make those determinations. He would let the states do what they want.
I don't know about you. By the way, that's Mary Louise Kelly of NPR. Our thanks to NPR for that great sound, as well as the journalist Eric Cortalesa of Time magazine being interviewed on this morning's NPR. You're going to monitor women's pregnancies? Wow. Again, for most conservatives that I know, and inclusive of libertarians, the idea that the government would monitor and query how? I mean, what are you going to require women to report in to some government office? I mean, what? Conservatives, libertarians, freedom, right? And most at most base, the freedom to live without the most offensive concept of Big Brother, that is Big Brother government peering through your bedroom window. I mean, ew.
Or your bathroom window.
Yes.
Awful.
I mean, this is where we've come. And to people that are saying, oh, I'm so surprised about where we now find ourselves. And I didn't really think that this was a possibility when Donald Trump was running in 2016. I say, yeah, you did. You got to pay attention. People say, oh, well, he speaks in hyperbole. No, he doesn't. The man doesn't know what hyperbole is, let alone how to spell it. He's a literalist in the most literal sense of that term. And here's why we know. What he says is what he's going to do. Let's listen. This is this Chris Matthews interview. We're going to take the shorter cut of it. This is back from, let's see, March 30th, 2016 on Hardball with Chris Matthews. Here's Chris Matthews asking Donald Trump about the very place that we have now ended up in this country.
Well, look, I mean, I'm, as you know, I'm pro-life, right? I think you know that. With exceptions, with the three exceptions. But pretty much that's my stance. Is that okay? You understand?
What should the law be on abortion?
Well, I have been pro-life.
I know. What should the law? I know your principle. That's a good value. But well, you know, what should be the law?
They've set the law, and frankly, the judges and you. I mean, you're going to have a very big election coming up for that reason, because you have judges where it's a real tipping point. And with the loss of Scalia, who was, you know, a very strong conservative, this presidential election is going to be very important, because when you say what's the law, nobody knows what the law is going to be. It depends on who gets elected, because somebody's going to appoint conservative judges and somebody's going to appoint liberal judges depending on who wins.
I've never understood the pro-life position.
Well,
I never understood it, because I understand the principle.
Understand.
It's human life as people see it.
Which
but what
it
crime? What crime is it?
Well, it's human life.
No. Should the woman be punished for having an abortion?
Look.
This is not something you can dodge.
If abortion is a crime
or abortion is murder, you have to deal with it under the law. Should abortion be punished?
Well, people in certain parts of the Republican Party and conservative Republicans would say, yes, they should be punished.
How about you?
I would say that it's a very serious problem, and it's a problem that we have to decide on. It's very hard.
But you're forbidding it.
Are you going to say put them in jail? Is that what you're talking about?
Because you say you want to ban it. What's that mean?
I am pro-life, yes.
What is ban? How do you ban abortion? How do you actually do it?
Well, you know, you'll go back to a position like they had, where people will perhaps go to illegal places.
Yeah.
But you have to ban it.
They go to somebody who flunked out of medical school.
Are you Catholic?
Yes, I think I.
And how do you feel about the Catholic Church's position?
I accept the teaching authority of my church on moral issues.
But do you know their position on abortion?
Yes, I do.
And do you concur with that position?
I concur with their moral position, but legally, I get to the question. Here's my problem.
No, but let me ask you. But what do you say about?
It's not funny.
Your church? Yeah, it's really not a funny thing. What do you say about your church? They're very, very strong.
They're allowed to, but the churches make their moral judgments. But you running for president of the United States will be chief executive of the United States. Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
Let's start monitoring women's pregnancies. Maybe having them check in at government centers. Sounds like freedom to me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Do not go anywhere. Former congressional representative of Illinois' 8th CD will be joining us, Joe Walsh. You will not want to miss it. Famous for White Flag with Joe Walsh. We'll be back with more after this farm update. What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, spending this afternoon talking about the former MAGA president's remarks, I think concluding here shortly at the Waukesha County Expo Center. And I had to bring on someone to help me break it down because I'm sick of listening to myself. And I can't think of anybody better than former Congressman of Illinois' 8th Congressional District, Joe Walsh, former candidate for president, current host of the podcast White Flag with Joe Walsh, the man who had well over 363 town hall meetings while you were in Congress, the most of any sitting congressman at the time. Welcome, Joe. So happy to have you.
Hey, Maggie, it is wonderful to be with you. And I say this as a longtime radio talk show host. Thank you for what you do. It's wonderful.
Well, I appreciate that very much. I consider you an expert connoisseur of the form. So that one I will take to the bank. Joe, you've had what I would call a political evolution since coming onto the scene in 1996. You began with, I would say, a libertarian flavor.
Yeah.
You became affiliated, a spokesperson, if you will, for the Tea Party. You've now renounced membership in the Republican Party and been very outspoken in your opposition to Donald Trump. How has this evolution happened? What triggers all of these changes? Because I think there's nothing better than someone who has the power, fortitude, and courage to change their mind.
Maggie, you're so nice in describing my journey very diplomatically. I know this is radio, so we have to watch our language, but it's been a bizarre, crazy, hellish road I've been on. I mean, think about it. 12 years ago, I go to Congress as one of the faces of the Tea Party. Now here I am 12 years later doing everything I can to make sure Joe Biden's reelected and Donald Trump never comes near the White House again. What woke me up, Maggie, was Trump's election in 2016. And I've publicly apologized on every national network because I voted for Trump. And the divisive political a-hole that I was helped bring us Trump.
Mm.
And now I'm trying to do everything I can to heal some of that divisiveness. and make sure, like MAGA, this MAGA thing is un-American. And I want everybody to know about that.
My guest this half hour, Joe Walsh, former congressman, also author of the book F Silence, Calling Trump Out for the Cultish, Moronic, Authoritarian Con Man He Is, which came out in 2020. When you step back and look at where we are, you had an awakening, the aha moment, if you will. The thing that has been perplexing for me, because I know I love, I care for many conservatives, I can't understand why they continue to vote for this man. I just don't get it. What's your take?
No, because Maggie, they look at what happened to me. The day before I publicly came out against Donald Trump 5.5 years ago, I was a syndicated talk radio host. I was on 200 stations around the country. I was on Fox News every day. I could have gone back to Congress as a Republican member of Congress. I was making money. I had the world in front of me. And then when I publicly came out against Trump, I took a blowtorch to my career. I took a blowtorch to my livelihood. I now live with daily, weekly threats. So the average Republican member of Congress, they don't want to give that up. They don't want to give the power up, the influence, the relevancy. In your world of talk radio, in my old world of right-wing media, they don't want to give up their audience. But if you come out and speak against Trump, you're done. And that's a really hard thing for people to do.
The interesting contradiction, what's baked into that, right, is this. If the majority of conservatives would stand up and say what we all know to be true,
yeah,
that this man is a menace, that this is not reflective of American values, we can return to arguing about tax policy and how to fund Medicare and all of these important policy questions that have had sort of, again, modern liberalism and conservatism on opposite. We can return to those arguments. But if conservatives en masse stood up and said this is an unacceptable way for politics to be conducted in this country, those wouldn't be the consequences. Is this just absolute lack of courage? Is this cowardice in its most pure distilled form, coupled with rabid self-interest?
Yes. Completely. And I'd love to say it's more complicated than that, but it's not. But Maggie, remember, and I left the Republican Party 3 years ago. I'm a homeless independent right now. Remember, the base of the Republican Party is full on MAGA, and it's no longer just a wing of the party. Like, you know, my politics, I think the left wing of the Democratic Party is crazy on some stuff, but it's just the wing of the Democratic Party. Right now, MAGA is the party. So if you're a Republican senator and you stand up and you say, I oppose Donald Trump, you lose the base of your party in a nanosecond. You're done. And let me tell you something, Maggie. I was only in Congress for a short period of time, but it's cool, right? It's a lot of power. You feel like you're so important. That's hard to give up.
I hear you, brother. I was a congressional intern on Capitol Hill back in the summer of 1996. It was when this little scandal was a brewing involving a navy blue dress and a president named Bill.
Who'd you intern for?
Congressman, then Congressman, now Ambassador Tom Barrett.
Yeah.
Who was one of the old guard, what I would consider to be sort of a centrist Democrat at the time. I know of which you speak, meaning the shine, the sort of ego stroking that comes along the trappings of elected office. What troubles me more, or perhaps just as equally so, is this particular brand of lawyer that has emerged. Because lawyers take an oath, and we should all be fearful of losing our licenses. I am an attorney by trade.
Yeah.
But I have watched Bill Barr debase himself to the point of no return. I'm sure you've heard the sound, but I thought we would play it again for everybody's edification and get your take on it. Let's listen to the toddler sound if we can, Anya, and then we'll take a little bit of the CNN interview.
He put the country at risk if he was in the White House again?
He will always put his own interests and gratifying his own ego ahead of everything else, including the country's interests. There's no question about it. This is a perfect example of that. He's like, you know, he's like a nine-year-old, a defiant nine-year-old kid who's always pushing the glass toward the edge of the table, defying his parents to stop him from doing it. It's a means of self-assertion and exerting his dominance over other people. And he's a very petty individual who will always put his interests ahead of the country's, his personal gratification of his, you know, of his ego. But our country can't, you know, can't be a therapy session for, you know, a troubled man like this.
That from Bill Barr about a year ago, and then this on Friday. Just give us 1 second. This is going to be the interview with Bill Barr and Caitlin Collins this past Friday. Yeah. Let me know when you're all set, Anya. We're
going to need a second here.
Oh, we're going to take a second. When I take Bill Barr, as well as what I've watched happen to the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the body that you served in, the aid package was done in February, right, of 23. Mike Johnson, not a lawyer, but Mike Johnson, who is supposed to be forwarding America's best interest, putting that primary in his priority list, waits months and then all of a sudden finds himself some Jesus and figures out, oh, we actually have to do something about the aid. These two gentlemen, this scares me a lot. Let's listen. We've got the Bill Barr sound now from CNN's interview with Caitlin Collins.
So just to be clear, you're voting for someone who you believe tried to subvert the peaceful transfer of power, that can't even achieve his own policies, that lied about the election even after his attorney general told him that the election wasn't stolen. And as the former chief law enforcement in this country, you're going to vote for someone who is facing 88 criminal counts.
Well, look, the 88 criminal counts, a lot of those are, in my, and I've said...
Even if 10 of them are accurate...
The answer to the question is yes. I'm supporting the Republican ticket.
But can you say that you're voting for Donald Trump? Because you're not saying his name. You just say you're supporting the Republican ticket.
I've said as between Biden and Trump, I will vote for Trump because I
screw Bill Barr.
Right? I just
and Meg, I can't say what I want to say again, the old radio guy on your show, but screw Bill Barr. I mean, think about what he said there. Think about that 2 minutes. He's acknowledging that Donald Trump is unfit. As a human being, he's incapable of putting any interest ahead of his own. Bill Barr said that he's unfit, but yet he'll vote for Bill Barr. Screw Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Mike Pence, who I served with, who I used to have a lot of respect for, said he won't endorse Donald Trump, but he may still vote for him. Look, again, when they write the history book 200 years from now, the biggest story of this time, this era, will be Republican cowardice and Republican enabling. Because, Maggie, here's the scary thing. A lot of my former colleagues know that Donald Trump is an unfit, unconstitutional, lawless, criminal traitor. But many of them don't believe that. And the group of crazies in the House and Senate continues to increase every election.
Yes.
The true believers, there are more than people think.
Well, that's what's the prospect of this second term when you pair it with the Heritage Foundation's doomsday booklet, How to Dismantle a Democracy in One Term of a Presidency, the 893-page ode to authoritarianism, and Donald Trump's interview with Time Magazine, which basically just affirms everything in the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025. This is frightening. It is completely anti-democratic. I just, again, when I stand back and look at this, the cowardice, the self-interest that seems to dominate, when you have someone, to me, Bill Barr is clearly an incredibly smart, book-learned man who is finding a way to contort himself and to debase the most fundamental of American values. Who are conservatives to learn from or to guide them in this moment? Who should they be looking to?
Right, because if you do what Joe Walsh did and my friend and colleague Adam Kinzinger did, and what I think Liz Cheney will do this summer, I think Liz will come out and say, I will vote for and help Joe Biden. But when you make that two-step dance, like I oppose Trump and I will then help the only man who can beat Trump, Biden.
Yes.
When you say that out loud as a Republican, you are throwing your career as a Republican away. And 99.9% of them don't have the balls, the guts, the courage, or the decency to do that. Look, Maggie, my former party has become an authoritarian embracing cult. But here's the scary thing. I think if the election were held tomorrow, he beats Biden electorally. And that should scare the living daylights out of all of us.
Well, and again, this nonsense that I'm hearing from people like Bill Barr is to me a very familiar refrain, meaning, well, between Biden and Trump, I'll vote for Trump. Oh, wait, yes, this was the same nonsense about Hillary Clinton. Oh, she's just so unlikable. I think she's a criminal, blah, 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 blah. It's the same refrain with, I would argue, even less teeth than the criticisms leveled against Hillary as a candidate in 2016. Yet we're hearing the same gobbledygook nonsense about when it comes to criticizing President Biden. I just don't understand.
They all need, Maggie, a justification for why they can't vote for Biden. And that's the one they fall back on.
Yes. Joe, can you stick around for one more segment? I'm having a good
time
here.
Would love to, Maggie.
Excellent. My guest this half hour, former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh, the famous lead of Joe Walsh's White Flag, a podcast you don't want to miss out on. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're just going to take a really brief couple of messages and be right back with my terrific guest. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can get the app for free. Take us anywhere that you want to go. And you can have my dulcet tones in your ears, as well as my fantastic guest this half hour, former Congressman Joe Walsh from Illinois' 8th Congressional District.
By the way, Maggie.
Yes.
You do have a good radio voice. I never did. You do.
Oh, I hate the way I sound on the radio.
No, you've got pretty good radio voice.
Well, thank you again, Joe. I wanted to ask you, we've talked about the heavy, serious moment that we're in, but there was actually what I thought was some really good news that came out yesterday in the midst of many troubling news stories. That was that the federal government is looking to reschedule marijuana from a Schedule One drug to a Schedule Three drug. I say that's about time. You actually ran on a legalization platform back in the good old days, the mid-90s, when we were worried about, you know, navy blue dresses and such. Are you surprised by this? I think this is genius politics by President Biden. I think this makes sense. It's the right thing to do. I was still surprised by it.
I'm surprised by it, too, that there is even support for it among Republicans. Look, this is long, long overdue. If we can allow a 21-year-old to have a beer or a shot of whiskey, there's nothing wrong with a 21-year-old smoking a joint. Come on, America, grow up. So I think we're getting there.
Yeah, it's about time. One of the fun things that I'll share with you. Wisconsin's most infamous senator of recent history, Ron Johnson, was once on a companion radio show and didn't know that the drinking age in Wisconsin is 21. He actually thought it was 18. But that's good old Rojo, who has got to go. The man does not have 2 feet planted on
Hey, by the way, Maggie, yeah. there's an example. Good old Rojo. Yeah. So Ron Johnson and I got elected the same year. We became really good friends. And I always thought the guy, don't get mad at me, Maggie. I always thought the guy was a just a businessman, not a crazy, not an ideologue, just a practical businessman. Then he becomes part of the cult. He becomes a Trump maniac. He sells out. I just didn't see it a long time ago.
I didn't see it coming either. History's not going to remember what your bank account says or, you know, they're going to remember whether you stood up for the basic set of American values that are not partisan in the least, that aren't Republican or Democratic, that are simply the values that our country was founded on. I think many conservatives, to your point exactly, Joe, here in the state of Wisconsin, thought of Rojo in that frame. Hey, this is just a normal guy. He's been a successful businessman. He's got this set of conservative principles. He'll enact policies that I'm more in favor of. That guy's gone. Body snatched. I don't know who it is anymore. This is not the Ron Johnson of 2010.
Yeah, Maggie, he's gone. And all your listeners in Wisconsin need to know this. I debated Ron Johnson about a month ago on Ukraine. Mm. And I got to tell you something, an hour and a half after that debate, oh my God, all he did was sing Putin's praises. He sounded like Tucker Carlson. It was just, it was scary and sad.
That Ukraine vote, right? Ron, what are you even talking about? Republicans used to be the party of foreign policy hawks who would obviously oppose someone who kills women and children, murders journalists that say bad things about him. What, Ron Johnson? Including, of course, Senator Marco Rubio on the short list for VP, also voting against Ukraine funding in an obvious genuflection to the former MAGA president. That vote, to me, will be a historical marker. Who voted against funding for Ukraine, voted for totalitarianism, voted against any reasonable construction of American foreign policy interests, that vote will be remembered for decades.
We don't want to acknowledge some of these things because they're scary to say out loud. Mm. But there is a Putin wing in my former party, and there many of these Republicans embrace Putin. They embrace authoritarianism. Maggie, look, I'm a reformed MAGA gangbanger. I come from MAGA. I still engage with these people every day. And over the last 6 years, if I had a dollar for every time a Republican MAGA voter said, Joe, I want a dictator. I want a dictator to give me back the America I want, I'd be a wealthy guy. Yeah. They don't mind having a dictator. And by the way, Maggie, Trump's going to lean into this. He's leaning into this year. And these student protests and what's going on around the country, my worry is this is going to play into Trump's, I'll be a dictator and I'll silence those troublemakers.
It does. It's a playbook that he couldn't write better for himself, right? It's and I don't really think when people are saying I want a dictator, I think authoritarianism is helpful. They have no idea what that means for the average person who goes to work every day to put food on their family on the table for their families. They don't realize the dire consequences that will be coming, turning the executive branch of the federal government into simply an arm of the political whims of someone who has unchecked and unparalleled authority and, oh, thank you, Supreme Court, or at least the five men on the Supreme Court, some level of immunity for any crimes committed in the Oval Office. That ain't good for regular middle-class Americans. I don't care if you're a woman, a black person, or a white guy. It doesn't matter. It's not good.
Now, look, Mag, the difference between you and me is I have to spend a lot of my time talking to these people and trying to change them, trying to get some of them out of the MAGA cult. You don't have to, and you shouldn't. Everybody else, our goal in November should be just to defeat them. We have to defeat them. I do believe most of them are good, decent people
yes.
who are just scared,
yes,
confused, and angry.
I totally agree, Joe, and I certainly hope that I can speak to some of them every day here on this show. I certainly hope and aspire to try to change minds by reminding us of the values that we all have in common. We
Amen.
Always have so much more in common than what divides us. Now, with the limited time that we have left, how much we got? We got about a minute. I saved the most important question for last. I know you're a native Chicagoan.
Yes.
The Cubs or the Sox?
Born and raised Cubs fan my whole life, Northsider. But, Maggie, this will surprise you. Always a Packers fan. My older brothers brainwashed me on the Packers.
Oh, well, on that note, Mr. Joe Walsh, congressman, former congressman from Illinois' 8th Congressional District, for loving the pack, we're going to have this man back. I hope you will come back and talk again with me about the former MAGA president and how important Wisconsin's going to be in November.
Keep doing what you're doing, Maggie. Would love to come back. Thank you.
Wonderful. My thanks to Joe Walsh, 2020 presidential candidate, author, talk show host, and current podcaster, The White Flag with Joe Walsh. Go check it out. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Your news, weather, and sports are next.